Absolutely. That is the principle. We are no longer at the mercy of having to go through rules and regulations and try and make a connection with God like they were at that time in that Old Testament. They were having to do sacrifices and cleansings and this and that and the other, just so that they could maybe once a year get to make that connection with God at the temple. And Jesus arrives and says, you know, that's all gone, and now in me, the great high priest, the one who stands in that gap, there is now a permanent connection between heaven and earth. And that was the whole mission of Jesus. In Galatians, we hear it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You know, he came to set the captives free. He stood up at the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of the Gospels in Luke, and the beginning of his ministry, he stands up. He unrolls the scroll, and he reads, and he says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring freedom to the prisoners, to recover the recovery of sight. I quite like that. That's an interesting one. And to set the oppressed free. And it's very easy to think, well, I'm not in jail. I think I can. I'm not blind. I'm not oppressed. But actually, as we start to understand some more of that, and even in this series, we might have figured out, actually, you know what, I'm a prisoner to myself in the first instance. I don't see as clearly as I thought I did. I don't see the reality of this world. I see it through a lens, and maybe I am one of those ones who's constantly, life is on top of me, and I'm oppressed. You know, we've moved away from self-effort. We've moved away from all the things we needed to do to get to God. And if you realized anything, it's a great statement. Yeah, you know what? I can't do it. But Christ has made a way. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, heavy laden," is another one of those things, "and let me give you rest." So the mission of God, the mission of Jesus, he said he came to seek and save that which was lost. I mean, there are lots of the translations put it back into seek and save the lost, and we miss some of that. But the King James has it as that which was lost. And you know, part of this cycling series, part of what we've been teaching and talking about, is getting back to that state of connectedness, getting back to seeing that as a normality and not our life as a normality. So yes, in this series, we're talking about how, when life has got you pinned, when it's holding you down, how you can pull that reversal. You may not understand it, but you are being taken hostage by unhealthy emotions, and they then control your thoughts. Let me say that again, because it's an interesting one. You yourself are a hostage to your unhealthy emotions, whether that be anxiety, whether that be fear or depression, whether that is frustration or anger. And when that emotion grabs a hold of you and gets a hold of you and pins you down, suddenly your thoughts are no longer your own, and you are being driven by those thoughts, and the consequences of that dictates your actions. And you know that, we know that, you know, all you've got to do is drive along the road and someone cut in on you, and you'll know an unhealthy emotion will come. Maybe not, maybe a very saintly, but normally an unhealthy emotion comes in. Before long, your thoughts are taken over to not what you were thinking, but what an idiot this person is in front of you. And then the actions follow, whether that be beeping a horn, shouting, or generally being unpleasant. Now, that might just be me, but you get the idea. So cycling is about pulling a reversal. It's about connecting with God in such a way that he can do what only he can do, that he does his part, that he fills us with the emotions that we need, and therefore we gain control back of our life. If you missed how this works, we touched on at the beginning of it how Jesus cycled, and then we looked at how do I cycle, when do I cycle, and then we looked at some of the obstacles to cycling. And now this week we're going to just kind of conclude with how we make this a lifestyle. We talked about three things: catching it early. We talked about it being like a car starting to roll when you've left the handbrake off, and you need to get it early, otherwise it's too late. You need to arrest the direction of travel pretty quick. Following all the way through, not just taking bits and pieces of this, but working it all the way through. And then this one, making it a lifestyle, seeing it as something that is more than just something you do in a crisis, and something that you do as a lifestyle. As I said, in Luke, Jesus said he came to seek and save that which was lost. And more than anything, what was lost in the beginning of the Bible, in the garden, was our connection with God, a relationship with God, a friendship with God, an intimate connection. It says that he walked with humanity in the cool of the day, relating, talking, being a friend. And actually, when Adam and Eve disconnected from God, you know, it wasn't so much about where are you physically, but where are you? You've gone. I've lost you. And you know what that feels like in a relationship, when you've had a close friendship with someone and then suddenly they're no longer there. That is gone, and you're like, where are you? And that is what was lost. That is what Jesus, I believe, came to restore and redeem and reconnect. You know, we've been made in his image and his likeness. That means we resemble God, but it also means we function like him. And the Trinity functions in unity and in a constant dance of serving one another in true relationship, a humble servant relationship. And that is what God wants to get us back to, that we are balanced in ourself, we are in a dance in our emotions and our intellect and our will, a natural balance of that. Then we've got a connection with God, and out of that we can love others around us. You know, what we're not talking about here is a sort of slot machine or a crisis. You know, someone said, you know, if your plane is going down, if you're in a 747, suddenly everyone's got a faith. Everyone's a prayer when you're in a tight spot, and when it, you know, people will give it a go. But that's not really a relationship. A relationship is where we're constantly talking and backwards and forwards and living out our moment by moment. You know, it might seem mundane, but when you come home from work or from what you've been doing, and you connect with people you love, you just talk about what you've done, what's happened in the day, where you've been, what you've been doing, who you met, and that's the nature, not just the highlights to God at the end of the day or the beginning of the day, but actually moment by moment. So I said to you that that we'd hear from and some other voices, and I'm hoping that I've got another voice for you now. So let's see how we go. Wrong
just
one.
Mine about how they have implemented this cycling into their lives, and so I thought it'd be nice to hear from Cam while he's down for the weekend. So just, you know, how long you've been doing it? Have you found it? What are the ups and downs? Give us some tips and tricks for those who are kind of starting this journey.
I really started cycling maybe a year and a bit ago, during lockdown at some point, I think. I dealt with some sort of anxiety and panic attacks, and whilst going through some therapy for it, I also started going back through a lot of Beth Baroni's teaching and the cycling teaching, and quickly sort of realized that the cycling was far better than the therapy for me, at least. And so, yeah, I just started really sort of practicing it at any point, especially when I was dealing with panic attacks, and really just connecting to the Trinity and implementing that structure quite early on, and beginning to see the effects of how quickly my panic attacks would escalate and then come back down to neutral, and that I was fine. And so, yeah, I sort of started it back then, and then as I sort of, got better and the anxiety and panic attacks reduced, I the connection that had occurred with the Trinity and that relationship had grown in that time. I realized I didn't want to stop, and so yeah, I started using cycling at every moment, whether it was a good or bad situation. I know a lot of the time we end up using cycling for emergency situations that we don't know are out of our control, and we need sort of a spiritual sort of intervention in that moment. And but I was, yeah, finding that actually I was doing it all the time, and it just became a way that I would communicate with the Trinity, and not so much so that it was always bad things that I was using it for. I was using it just for when I was walking around, and yeah, I just found a way to connect and have a relationship with the Trinity that has brought me like a really close, intimate relationship more than ever before. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about life, making this a lifestyle as we kind of finish this series. You know, the technicalities of it, the what to do and how to do. But yeah, I think that's really important that, you know, the end result of this is that this becomes a lifestyle and like you've said, not just a crisis management tool, but a relational tool that, you know, yeah, we often say that you need three things to navigate this life. You need an intimate connection with God, which is what you've just described, a moment by moment connection. And then you need, yeah, the right information. You need to know where you're going. You need a friend to help you along that journey. But I think a lot of people are struggling with that intimate relationship because either they don't believe it exists. So it's good to start with the kind of need, but it's good to progress and mature to what you've described. You know, are there any kind of were there sort of standout moments, or is there something that you kind of think, well, yeah, that was really when I sort of, I mean, you talked about some of the anxiety stuff, but were there any other things that you as an example that you could maybe give of how it's worked for you or how you've implemented it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel that there's quite, I tend to do this cycling all the time now, and it's a, so I'm trying to pinpoint a moment where, the there's
Do you find one element of it easier than the other? Obviously, you've got Father, what do you think? Jesus, I trust you for the emotions, and then the Holy Spirit. I mean, do you find, you know, where's your natural kind of strength? I tend to get the first step and then don't necessarily follow through all of the steps. That's my kind of weakness and my obstacle. I need to kind of not just go, yeah, I got it, and then rush off and do it myself.
I think I find that the I get, I ask God, what do you think? And I get that immediate sort of like, you know, a lot of the time it's I'm an overthinker, so a lot of it's about minimizing the time in which I have a potential to overthink and escalate sort of whatever issue in my mind. And so often the immediacy of that God is really quick, and I get that straight away, and then I go to and ask for the right emotions from Jesus, and that's fine. But I remember Beth saying that for certain types of people that they'll receive it in different ways, yeah. And that kind of that for who I was, that maybe it would take a bit longer, and that you would notice a change. And so often at the beginning, I would be waiting around for a very long time, waiting for some sort of emotion to hit me, and at that point, I'd forget to do the final step,
yeah.
Because I'd be waiting around and just sort of, and then life would carry on, and I would go off and do something, and then like 10 minutes later I realize, oh wait, I haven't done the final section. Well, I must be okay now, so yeah. I'll finish. I don't think the cycling, maybe for myself, doesn't need to be like bam bam bam. It is that, but at times in your life, your sort of daily, you know, workings, it doesn't always end up. So,
and have you seen, I mean, you know, you've obviously got friends who are and people around you. Would you say that, you know, you've been able to kind of, I know you've talked with some people about and been a bit of an advocate of that this has really helped you. But I mean, what would you say to people who are kind of thinking, oh, yeah, that's all well and good, but I'm not sure, you know, what would your encouragement to us be today?
The wise encouragement.
Yeah.
I'd just say that it's, a really, really amazing tool that brings you closer to the Trinity and closer to God and strengthens your relationship whilst also bringing health back into your life in areas that need mending. I've seen so much of my own health, as emotional health, has just been turned around by continually going back and putting it into practice and exercising that muscle of cycling, both emotional health, physical health, and that relationship with God has just increased to a point where, I wouldn't be giving it up for anything. So,
brilliant. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Great.
Excellent. Thank you again, Campbell, for giving us that that insight. And I didn't prompt him. I didn't say these things. I just said, let's sit down and do this. And I was really encouraged. As a parent, you see your kids going through tough things and you want to help. But, you know, actually, Campbell lives in London. We live here. And being dependent on us moment by moment isn't a reality and shouldn't be happening. But his connection with heaven gives us reassurance that actually, you know what, he's dancing with the Trinity now. He's learning to walk with their empowerment, and that means we can relax as well, because actually he's in far better hands than any of the wisdom that we might have. And although there is a time to disciple, and there is a time to learn and time to encourage, there is also a time when you have to step out and put that relationship with God into a first person one, and not to live it vicariously through someone else who happens to have a connection with God. And this is part of what we're doing here. It's a sort of like democratization of a connection with God. The Old Testament said there's a few people in a small group who are really special, and they're the ones who can listen to God and have a connection with him, and we all have to kind of hear what they say. And Jesus came and said, no, that's done away with as well. Now everyone has an opportunity opportunity to connect with God. And I think that's why the Pharisees struggled, because they knew their power base was disappearing. And they knew that they weren't going to be looked upon as the guardians of all truth and all knowledge. And they didn't take that too well. And so, you know, it's this enables you to have moment by moment access to the very source of what you need. The Bible says Jesus, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Christ has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And again, you've got those three kind of elements. Love, a connection with God. Love is about connecting with others regardless of how you feel about them. And then power and empowerment by the Spirit. We can't do it, but he can. And then, you know, the result of that, a sound, balanced mind, a calm, measured existence. I'm just going to put up the learning ladder that we talked about. You know, you become aware of this. And this information, and for some of you it might be new, and for some of you might have just tuned in today and think, what the heck's going on? But go back, choose to get the information, and then start putting it into practice. And it's going to be awkward, and it's going to be difficult, and you're going to forget it, and you have to go back and relearn it and rethink it, and then you put it into practice, like Campbell was saying. The practice for him came from, you know, a need, you know, a real need, and that might be the motivating. And then it moved into improving and wanting and a desire to do it, and then it becomes natural. Other people have said, you know, desire, discipline, delight. You know, you want something and then it takes a while to kind of actually put it into practice and stick with it, and then it becomes again a breakthrough of that. You know, if you found this valuable and you want to make it work, then the way to do this is to kind of grab someone else, grab a small group of people. I know some of you are doing that already, and I think it's brilliant, but it, you know, when you think, oh, I'm giving up on this, someone else is, no, come on, let's keep going, and vice versa. And let's say, let's do this together. You know, there is a shockingly low percentage of people who have confidence that they can hear from God inside the church and outside the church. And sometimes I think there are more people who are connecting to heaven outside the church, but they haven't even realized, because God takes responsibility to talk. He doesn't just talk to you because you've turned up at church. That's often a time where he's got your attention, because you stopped everything else, and maybe you put your phone away, and there is a moment there. But actually, that's not, he's not rewarding you because you've turned up. He wants to talk all the time. So making this a lifestyle, let me encourage you to do it. We're on this journey. We're maybe a little bit ahead, but that's okay. You know, there's always someone further ahead, and there's always someone further behind. And discipleship is about continuing to be encouraged to follow, and also bringing someone else up with you as you go. This isn't like many things, it's not a miracle cure, just a one shot, do it and it's all going to happen. This is something exactly like this. It's a lifestyle change, it's a lifestyle choice. But I would have to say that we have, particularly with of Campbell, have seen an amazing balance and stability brought back into his life, which is delightful. And and I hope that is what this brings in each one of your lives as you implement it. So let me pray for you, and encourage you. And if you are doing this and you're taking small baby steps, and you're then encourage us, tell us that you're doing it. Tell us how it's working, tell us what the challenges are, and let's do this together. So Father, I thank you that you've come to set the captives free. I thank you that you do not want us, burdened by a yoke of slavery, not just a slavery to the things that we might not all get right, but because that's all done away with, but the burden of constantly having this world dictate how we feel and how we act and how we exist. And Lord, you want us connected with heaven. You want us connected to a different power source, to a different to live in a different kingdom, to represent a different kingdom and be ambassadors of that kingdom here on earth. And Father, I thank you that your constant call is come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden and burdened. Let me give you rest. Let me put my yoke upon you. You know, the unforced rhythms of grace. And thank you that that's what we get when we come to you. We never get told off. We never get chastised. We get encouraged. We get built up. We get restored. We get renewed. We get put back on the path again. And so, Father, I thank you that today you would encourage people. You would heal them physically. You would restore them, their hope in you. And you give them strength to keep going, just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, as you walked alongside them, their hearts were filled and they leapt within inside. They were restored inside in so many different ways. And that's what we pray today for each person who's listening to this, in Jesus' name. Amen.